Chapter 9. Manage Money for Mission. A Vanguard Optimizes Financial Resources. Strategically aim your financial ambitions at the objective of fulfilling Christ's commission. Exercise your privilege and freedom as Christ's vanguard to pursue a standard of living that best mobilizes you and others. The Apostle Paul referred to this freedom when he declared, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. I struggled with seeking Christ's kingdom until I committed myself totally to completing His mission assignment. In the seventh grade, I declared my determination to use my strength, smarts, hard work, thrift, and privilege to economically uplift myself from somewhere below the working class to the status of the upper class. Until I rededicated my life to Christ at the rural summer camp in North Carolina, I made this upward mobility objective my first priority. My college-educated parents had chosen a ministry path that put me somewhere below working class status. I decided in the seventh grade that enough was enough. As a child, I knew where I stood economically among my friends and classmates. I wore hand-me-down clothes given to me by families in our church. Other boys at school would ask me why my clothes looked worn. These clothes became a greater problem to me when our family moved to a more affluent neighborhood. By the grace of God, a grateful and generous couple sold their house to my parents as I entered the sixth grade. Located in a suburban middle-class neighborhood, these friends intentionally offered their home at a below-market price. After moving, I began attending elementary school with middle and upper-class students and became even more frustrated with my lower status. Living in this neighborhood brought with it the privilege of getting a good paper route. I went to work on my objective of becoming rich. My resolve increased as family members responded to my ambition with skepticism. In gratitude, I report that my parents put a roof over my head, fed me quite well, and gave me use of the family car. Yet, from age 12 on, I worked hard and saved to pay for everything else on my own. I threw papers and washed dishes to earn money to pay for my clothes, gas, and car. I paid for my own dates, sports, and college education. My parents made too much money for me to qualify for college financial aid, but not enough to help pay tuition. I washed dishes and did maintenance work at a country club throughout college. This put my upper-class status goal always before me as I worked overtime below my fellow working-class employees. When they gave me a hard time about my low position, I promised they would someday work for me. They expressed skepticism until I clocked out for the last time during my junior year to begin my college chemistry co-op position with a fertilizer company. On the first day at my new job, my supervisor gave me a white hard hat that set me apart from the plant's working class laborers who wore yellow ones. At that moment, I achieved management status. This progress increased my ambition to earn my MBA, run a chemical plant, and become its CEO. I strategically planned to join the upper class and the country club. I added an MBA to my chemistry degree in the early 1980s as MBA salaries went off the charts. My family and friends congratulated me for seizing the opportunity and fulfilling my promise to rise to the upper class. Then, many of them thought I had gone crazy when I returned from a black camp in North Carolina with a totally different career objective. Instead of pursuing the American dream, I strategically chose to place Kim and myself somewhere below the working class. I began trusting Christ to meet our financial needs, and our church commissioned us as inner-city missionaries. By becoming faith missionaries, we strategically relied on the generosity of church people again. I had come full circle. Like my parents, I chose a ministry path that required setting my standard of living below what the job market might say I was worth. My spiritually privileged background prepared me for this change of focus. Yet, most missionaries must choose this same strategic option. I praise God for this freedom and privilege to strategically set my standard of living. The Lord of the harvest gave faithful financial partners who joined us in fulfilling Christ's mission in the inner city by supporting Kim and me. God supplied all of our needs and blessed us in many other ways as well. The purpose of this chapter is to challenge you to strategically choose the standard of living that will propel your vanguard career. I explain the biblical principle of how God uses partnerships between missionaries, churches, and individuals to support His work. I present a theory on why partnerships between missionaries and black churches are difficult to establish. In addition, I give practical advice to help prepare you financially for Vanguard Missions leadership. Bank on Jesus' reign. I wish we had a mathematical solution to compensate for the lack of financial support for African-American full-time missionaries by black and white governed churches. What you can bank on is that Jesus' reign is unstoppable, and he is intensely zealous for mobilizing his missions forces. He obligated himself to meet your needs. Obviously, his word is money. In his last recorded teaching before the cross, Jesus claimed the glory of a conqueror for all time and eternity. Receive peace and victory to go forth through his presence and promises. John 16:33. In your Vanguard leadership, transform traditional missions funding systems that may demobilize African Americans. Let nothing discourage you from your quest. Several of my African American colleagues in the ministry express frustration because black churches decline their requests for financial support. Black congregations that give to overseas missions remain so few in number that they usually keep a full slate of missionaries. Yet African Americans have unprecedented resources to invest in Christ's commission. Since 1980, black-led churches collected a reported $490 billion in offerings. Some researchers estimate the buying power of African Americans has reached $1 trillion. More research is needed about where black churches spend their money. Nevertheless, I will say that very few, obviously, support long-term African American international ministries. My theory about this lack of black church support for missions focuses on cultural sensitivity. In the past, privileged white Christians enjoyed economic freedom to choose faith missions as an option to receive financial support. In faith missions, they prayerfully made their missionary needs known and received funds from white churches and individuals. I conclude that most African American church members cannot relate to this economic privilege and mission support strategy. They cannot culturally connect the biblical principle of missionaries seeking financial support from churches or individuals. Presenting one's need for missionary support or giving financial support to missionaries seems to cut across African American middle class and working class convictions. Most hold that respectable blacks must work hard and sustain their own financial independence, especially independence from philanthropists. These uplift values bundle together in many middle-class and working-class African Americans as a sense of dignity that comes with financial self-sufficiency. When college-educated missionaries seek financial support from black Christians, I think African Americans equate their requests with charity. This misconception contradicts African American Christians' traditional perceptions of missions. In their cultural framework, black missionaries provide charity for the local needy. They would not seek charity for themselves in the form of missionary salaries and ministry expenses. To seek this perceived charity for one's personal missionary support would offend the cultural sensitivities of both the potential missionaries and the church people being asked to give it. Many working-class white Christians struggle with the same ambivalent feelings about raising support. Yet, whites have a 250-year background of missionaries presenting financial needs and receiving personal support for international missions. Raising financial support might look like begging to African Americans, but many white churches regard the same kind of requests as honorable missionary statesmanship. Ask God for ways to intervene and solve this cultural predicament. With a small amount of their resources fulfilling Christ's Great Commission, African American Christians must be quite immobilized. Prosperity preachers may make giving for missions more difficult by promoting self-interested giving. May God use you to proclaim truth and champion His missions giving principles. Champion missions giving principles. Praise Jesus Christ for His promise to be with us. We know how Jesus' commitment to us includes providing our physical needs. Fulfilling Christ's mission will always be connected to your reliance on Him to provide money. Philippians 4:13, 19. Missionaries, and those who financially support them, rely on God's grace to provide all they need to perform every good work. Above all, champion the universal biblical principle of partnership in Philippians 4:14-17. Quote, Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. End quote. The word communicate means to share in fellowship together with a partner as partakers of the same thing. The Apostle Paul commends the Philippian believers for their vital partnership in his ministry through their financial giving. This biblical example of financial partnership shows how those who financially support the missionary also share in his or her work and reward. You bless those who support you because Christ puts to their account the same reward he gives you. You provide African Americans the great privilege to partner with you and invest in Christ's mission. Since society calls on African Americans to represent their race, you might use this phenomenon to explain partnerships and missions. Missionaries represent their partners at home as they serve overseas. Also, a vanguard mobilizes those who cannot physically go overseas by enlisting them as financial and prayer partners with the missionaries who go abroad. Your missionary financial support need may provide the means to teach believers how to invest in Christ's mission. Additionally, missionaries represent the people whom they serve abroad on the missions field. They endeavor to connect them with partners back home. How will Americans mobilize to pray for individuals in other countries unless the missionaries report back asking for prayer? How will American believers know how to give and go unless missionaries convey the needs on the field? As a vanguard, you call on potential missionaries at home to join you on the missions field overseas. Therefore, your vanguard success becomes heightened by your need to establish financial partnerships in the States with those who give, pray, and go. Champion the following missions principles to show others how Jesus gave all believers the responsibility of sending and financially supporting missionaries. Christ commanded that those who preach the gospel become financially supported through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Those who support missionaries become their partners and share in their reward. Philippians 4:13-19. Through the Apostle Paul's example and instructions, Scripture teaches us to give the gospel free of charge to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 9:17-18. 3 John 7:8. Discipleship teaches financial stewardship that includes supporting missionaries. Romans 10:15 and 15:24. Christians choose their standard of living to adopt simple lifestyles and invest in eternal treasures. Matthew 6:19 through 20. Colossians 3:1 through 5. The Apostle Paul carefully raised money from local churches and taught financial stewardship. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Romans 15:25 through 28. For a time, the Apostle Paul made tents to support himself while on a mission. Acts 18:3. Giving reflects the heart. Matthew 6:21. Missionaries minister to those who send them as much as they minister to people overseas. Romans 1:11 through 13 and 15:24. As you change other mission structures to send out African Americans, teach these principles to recruit partners for them. Until now, only a few African American-led churches have financially supported missionaries who serve overseas. More white-led evangelical churches support missionaries, but apparently do not understand the critical importance of sending out African Americans. Set the example by supporting missionaries yourself and champion this revolutionizing cause of establishing financial partnership for Christ and His commission. My missionary grandmother not only pioneered in Africa, she helped teach churches in the States how to support missions through faith promise giving when she traveled here on furlough. May God empower you the same way to pioneer at home and abroad as you mobilize many laborers and their financial partners. Manage your personal finances well. Build a strong foundation for missions by managing your personal finances well. Choose a simple lifestyle so you may support other missionaries and remain free to go out yourself. Gain and protect your financial freedom by staying out of debt. Every financial advisor agrees with this challenge to avoid debt. The Bible equates personal debt with slavery. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. African Americans should be especially sensitive to this warning.
Du Bois
reported extensively on how racist whites in the South intentionally used debt as slavery to control African Americans after the Civil War. For freedom and for the gospel's sake, choose a lower standard of living while you retire student loans as quickly as possible. Pay off credit cards each month. If you find yourself paying interest on credit cards, cut them up. Avoid debt from big purchases that would hinder your progress while you strategically aim to fulfill Christ's mission. Then, you will be free to pursue Christ's mission. Learn financial stewardship before you leave college. Stewardship refers to the biblical principle that all we have belongs to the Lord, and we are His stewards over the money He gives. The Lord provides the health and strength to work, and you should prayerfully budget and put aside offerings to worship Him in gratitude. By giving a portion back to Him, you declare His ownership over everything in your life. In college, I set a budget of giving 10% of my low dishwasher wages to Christ through my church offerings. Needing to pay tuition and other bills, usually I saved almost all my money and stayed broke after paying my bills. Giving faithfully during that time tested me, yet I gained valuable wisdom about financial stewardship that guided me when I entered the ministry several years later. I pass on to you a financial insight for married couples that my mother-in-law shared with Kim and me, which blessed us greatly. When we married, she advised us to start out with a frugal lifestyle and lower standard of living. She encouraged us to live on just one of our incomes and save the other. Kim's mother explained that we could always go up to a higher standard of living, but it's harder to go back to less. We followed her advice by living on hand-me-downs, mismatched used furniture, and pre-owned cars. As a result, we saved a larger down payment for our house purchase. That made our mortgage payments low until we paid them off completely. Also, we could afford for Kim to stay home with our young children because we lived on just one of our incomes. Usual ways to be sent out. Usually, American missionaries, trusting God to meet their needs, go out to other countries while being supported in one of four ways: as faith missionaries raising support and going out through a sending agency, as missionaries sent and supported by church denominations' mission boards, as missionaries sent and supported by particular churches, or as professionals gainfully employed in a foreign country. An increasing number go out as faith missionaries who receive financial and prayer support from churches and individual financial partners. Described as faith missionaries, they trust God to provide financial partners to support them. Of course, all missionaries should go out with their trust in God's provision. Sending agencies. Usually, faith missionaries choose and apply to missions agencies. These agencies, in turn, evaluate the applicants and decide whether they are ready to serve in the field. Those accepted become missionary candidates who raise support and receive training as they prepare to move and serve overseas. The missions agencies receive donations and keep accounting records as tax-deductible organizations. They supervise and care for the candidates until they're commissioned as missionaries and move to the field. Once in the field, the missions agencies have different ways of providing support and accountability. Missionaries return to the States at certain intervals on what is often called a furlough. They spend time with relatives, meet family needs, minister to their financial partners, raise support, and recruit more missionaries, among other things. Some churches, or church networks, send missionaries and provide support and oversight like a missions agency. One of the best benefits of raising support is the vital prayer support that financial partners can provide. Be prepared for the possibility of being the only African American around, or one of a few in a missions agency. You might work with second or third generation missions leaders who grew up overseas without knowing any African Americans. The media probably shapes their perceptions because they grew up outside of the States as missionary kids. Be prepared to offer grace to educate and introduce truth if they jump to stereotypical conclusions. As a vanguard, handle these kinds of issues well for the sake of mobilizing others behind you. In Chapter 12, I write about the late Pastor James Drew, an African-American leader who ministered faithfully in Norfolk. He told me how he broke through racial barriers by ensuring that he honored Christ with his reaction to racist comments. He took many opportunities to educate and responded respectfully. He kept the focus of the problem on the offender's insensitivity and not on his attitude or the way he rebuked them. He used God's word and pointed to Christ's character when correcting, rebuking, and instructing for justice. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Pastor Drew told me how he would choose to turn a deaf ear to some insensitive comments and ideas in his relentless pursuit of mobilizing objectives for subsequent generations. When leading as Christ's persistent vanguard, his correction and breakthroughs demonstrated love and a commitment to racial reconciliation. Just as important, find a missions agency that demonstrates long-range commitment to racial reconciliation and mobilization of African-American missionaries. Most missions agencies express the desire now to do so. Observe if an agency is organized and budgets resources to send African Americans. If offered token roles in the mission, keep looking for a sending agency with a greater vision of spiritual revolution in missions. Choose a sending agency whose priority is to create a movement to mobilize many people of African descent. Other options. Another option is to go out under a church or through a denomination's missions board whose related churches collectively support missionaries. In this process, you may not need to raise financial support. Instead of these ways to go overseas, you may seek employment in a foreign country as a financial support option. Some countries hire Americans to teach English as a second language. Sports and music ministries also create opportunities overseas. Finding employment provides advantages where countries prohibit missionaries. Other countries, like Jamaica, for example, restrict Americans from holding jobs within their borders. Since these four options have yet to extensively mobilize African Americans, perhaps Christ will give you the wisdom to create a new strategy. Our vision at UDM is to see churches established across America that mobilize and support people from our inner cities to fulfill the Great Commission at home and abroad. Sell out young with no regrets. Trust Christ and completely sell out to Him. Give Him your life and obey His commission. I guarantee that you'll never regret it. Again, spreading the knowledge of God's glory through your obedience is priceless and worth giving Him everything. The missionary who recruited me for New Guinea called me out during his sermon from the pulpit one Sunday. He challenged me as a college student to sell out for Christ and promised that I would never regret the decision. His promise proved true, and I'm grateful with no regrets. So I pass on this guarantee to you and add that you will appreciate stepping out as Christ's vanguard at an early age. You can accomplish a lot in your early 20s that you will not have the energy to complete in your 30s and afterward. Everything I challenge you to become as an overseas pioneer missionary, I had the privilege of doing here in the inner city at your age. I look back with tremendous gratitude to Christ for thrusting me out while I was young. In my early 20s, I became determined to serve in the inner city, no matter what. I concluded that inner city ministry was, indeed, my personal assignment from Christ, and His calling and grace was enough. If no one supported me, I would have taught in a downtown public school and gone anyway. Either way, I knew that I would give my life to fulfill Christ's commission in the inner city. The Lord then moved the Tabernacle Church to bring me on full-time, but required me to raise half my salary from outside the church. The pastor tried to prepare me for the disappointment of the fundraising challenge facing me. He told me of his doubt that anyone else would back me. He assumed no one would support me because I'm white and because our ministry was sponsored by this local church. 2 days later, someone outside of the church anonymously donated the entire amount I needed to raise that year. The next year, this pastor sent me out again to raise support under the same cloud of doubt as before. I went through the phone book calling on churches and learned a lot about prevailing racial attitudes. Yet God provided faithfully through those whom I had least expected to help me. That was more than 3 decades ago, and I remain forever grateful to God, the Tabernacle Church family, and the other partners who helped me step out and lead against all odds. The Lord also blessed me over the years to pioneer alongside other Vanguard leaders. We went first over the wall to set His people into motion on several fronts. On one such Vanguard move, we partnered with Buff Bay Baptist Church in Jamaica to establish the Globe Center and mobilize people of African descent for world missions. This partnership still makes fulfilling Christ's commission a vital part of our church planting discipleship here in the States. Implement Bible principles for establishing financial partnerships and begin your Vanguard leadership while you're young. Strategically choose a standard of living that will propel your Vanguard career and prepare you financially for Vanguard missions leadership. Champion these mobilizing financial principles as an important part of your mobilization objectives. In the next section, 6 chapters, I shift gears to break my silence about historical issues that still hinder African Americans' extensive participation in career missions. Knowing this background will equip you to take on the serious responsibility of strategically mustering the divided masses as one unified missions force. Then, you will set us all finally free from spiritual bondage that fights against our souls and attempts to undermine the Holy Spirit's powerful witness through us.